Welcome back, everyone, to this third episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me, as always, is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited. We actually have a guest. We have a third wheel.
I know. This is great. A third wheel in the best way.
Yes, in the best way possible. We have Zach, also known as Ravius, over at Kill 10 Rats. How you doing, Zach?
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we thought we'd get together with us three and just talk about all the latest news from this week from Guild Wars 2 and also anything from Guild Wars. But, you're pretty big on Guild Wars over at Kill 10 Rats. You know, you're always right on top of everything and you know your stuff. And it's kind of cool for us, too, because a lot of times we'll read it and we'll say, hey, Zach knows what he's talking about over there. So we want to make sure we get you on the show, and talk a little bit about everything because it's always cool to just be able to sit down and talk with people who know the subject, and it just really helps a lot, makes it go a lot more smoothly, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I know you guys write it massively, too, and it's big on Guild Wars there, and it seems like we're bouncing off each other a lot, which is great. And I'm a little bit fanatical about Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2 at Kill 10 Rats, but because Kill 10 Rats is, we call it a blogomerate or whatever you want to call it. We have a writer who loves the Old Republic, and we have a writer who does WoW sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it kind of all balances out, I hope.
Cool. So how long have you been writing over there?
Oh, man, let's see. I think a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Zuban, who is pretty much the number one poster over there, was a guildmate of mine in A Tale in the Desert, actually.
Oh, wow.
And this was like 5 or 6 years ago. And I decided to, I think I'd like blogging and about MMOs, and so I wrote them up. And Ethic, who's the owner of the site, graciously let me have a try, and I've been going ahead full steam ever since then.
Yes, you have. That's to say the least, definitely. And you write about anything. You write about like Lotro and a couple other games, right?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Lotro. I got a lifetime sub there. I really like DDO, Wizard 101. I like the different non-sub type MMOs. They're usually really geared towards my playstyle and the amount of time I have to put into MMOs.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm just a fanatic of Guild Wars, because it's from the start, it was very easy to play, with the henchmen and then later on the heroes and, get into PvP right away. And it's just a fantastic game, I think.
I'd have to agree.
Wouldn't I you definitely agree.
That's why we're here, right? Well, we're going to talk this week about some of the news that came out. Usually, like we said last time, news usually comes out around Wednesdays for the Guild Wars stuff. And now that's not, of course, like a set schedule. Sometimes it comes out a little bit later. But we like to record these toward the end of the week so we can talk about what's happened. But this week we had a few small things happen, and we're going to talk about those. But also, there was something quite big talking about the convention schedule, where they're going to be, and most importantly, how we're going to be able to play Guild Wars 2 hands-on.
Yes!
That's so huge, I can't even say it.
Yeah, that was a bomb.
I was so excited. I cannot wait.
So, but before we do that, let's talk about some of the smaller Guild Wars 2 news. And this first little bit here is, I guess it's for the word nerds like ourselves. It's talking more about the style of Guild Wars 2 and how they're going to kind of change a few things. And actually, it was funny. I was reading through this, and Ruby and I were talking about this last week, about how they didn't capitalize they didn't capitalize warrior. And we're like, hey, maybe that's a hint for something. And they did capitalize elementalist. Well, they're talking about actually just doing away with the capitalization altogether, right?
Yeah.
So, it's like, this doesn't really affect anything. I think the way they were kind of nitpicking it was saying that it's going to affect the way we look at certain things. Like one of their examples was, if you say, come warriors, help me do this quest, you're not saying only warriors can do this quest. You know, you're saying warriors as in kind of the cumulative group. You know?
A fighty person. Yeah.
Yes, a fighty type person. Not a sword specific fighty type person.
Not a class.
Yeah, yeah. So they want to make sure to kind of change a little bit of that that was going on in Guild Wars 1. I guess that was a problem for them. I guess that was coming up a lot in quest dialogue and things like that. So they're changing that. So if you see, you know, they refer to... Now, is that going to work for races too? Like, I believe it is, right?
They are going to... Let's see, how did they decide to do that?
What?
Asura, Norn, Silvari, all of that was capped, but then they weren't capitalizing human.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things that was a little bit confusing.
Yeah, but that's the way they did it before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just how it was.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see stuff now, and it's like char, and it's not capitalized.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've actually seen that a few times, and I've thought, well, that's kind of strange that they don't capitalize it. But there have been a few answers. Actually, way back, we did an interview with, I think it was Katie Hargrove, and she didn't capitalize char, and I was thinking, you know, me being an editor, I'm like freaking out when I see that. But I guess it's on purpose. So And now it's going to be up to you, Ruby, to make sure
that everything is capitalized. Now I have to know. So did you correct her when she didn't?
No.
Did you edit her?
I wouldn't edit Katie Hargrove. That's
uh-huh.
She drew me a moa bird in my Guild Wars 2.
Oh, that was her
art book.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm jealous.
Yeah, you've been rubbing my face in that moa bird for like, what, a year now?
It was at PAX, and we were I was going around getting everyone's signatures in the art book, and she's like, here, and she like drew this moa bird really quick, and I'm like, that is the greatest thing ever. And she's like,
that is like the best thing that ever happened to you, isn't it?
Yes. but yeah, so they're basically going with this new style change. They say it goes more along with the Chicago Manual of Style, which is a little different than AP. And this is all just probably not interesting at all for most people.
But see, now everybody's going to surprise us, and they're going to say, oh, this was like the most fascinating thing all week.
That would be bad, because we actually have a lot better stuff.
Yeah, we do. But I thought I'd throw that in there anyway.
Trying to make me feel better, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, let's go on to this next little bit of news here. This is an interview we had with over at Massively.com. I say we because I'm so used to recording with you on Massively Speaking.
Yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't know, who just joined us here on episode 3, we just go back and listen to the first two. I mean, seriously. No, but
it's not that hard.
Ruby and I work over at Massively.com, and so we also record a podcast there. And so I get to pick on her on two different podcasts, which is...
Yay!
Always fun.
Except, no, the other thing.
So this interview over at Massively, this is with Rhys Osby, who we talked about last week. And it's kind of going off of what she talked about with the personal stories and the home instances, which is, that was the big one we wanted to know about.
Yeah, so this is very cool.
Yeah, you want to tell us a little bit about this?
Well, we knew that we were going to have our own personalized little home instance, and the thought was that it was kind of going to be like the Hall of Monuments, and we're all kind of familiar with that now. But one of the things that a lot of people wanted to know, you know, how is this going to work? How personalized is this going to be according to your race and your home city and your class and all of that? And what she said, this is the first time we'd heard this, was that your home instance is going to be in your character's racial city. And you're going to have an area about the size of a city block with some streets and some merchants areas and like a lab if you're in Asura. I mean, it's much, much bigger and more detailed than we ever imagined.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love how they drop those little hints, you know, when you don't expect it in the questions and you're just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, city block, oh my gosh.
Yeah, because there are a lot of topics they can't really talk about, you know, like major topics, but they can expand on the ones that they've already discussed because they're trying to release the information in tiers almost. But I think this is interesting. The city block thing. I mean, how cool is that? Like,
that's huge.
It almost reminds me too of like the guild hall. Like you can open up different NPCs in your guild hall. So maybe there will be like different shops on your city block that you can open up. I don't know. I'm speculating.
I was just thinking the same thing. It's almost like having your very own guild hall.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wonder how much we'll get to do with that.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they did a little progression in it, like they do with the the Guild Hall in Guild Wars 1 right now. I mean, you can really personalize it. You know, if you don't care if the merchant's there, don't pay for one. But if you do, you know, go for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it almost sounds like it's going to be a mix between the Hall of Monuments and a Guild Hall, which would be amazing.
Yeah, and I love the racial differences in there. I like that it's not just... I mean, you know, we've got a nice selection of Guild Halls in Guild Wars 1, but they all... You know, you can have like one of these 12 or 15 or however many there are, and that's pretty much it. But this is more customized to your character, and I love that.
Yeah. One thing, though, is I was pretty dead set on a char in the beginning. But now with this, I'm like, man, do I really want a home with like a black sky and smog all the time?
Aww.
The answer is yes.
Yes, you weakling.
See, now, there goes again. I'm going to have one of every race just so I can see every...
I was just thinking the same thing. I need to see every house. I need to see every home. I'm sorry, home instance. I guess it's not really a house.
Yeah.
It's much cooler than that.
Your own hood. How about that?
That's what the char have.
Yeah.
Well, it'd also be a great place. I mean, they say like you'll meet the characters you meet and befriend will be there. You know, so like you could be walking down the street and, you know, the person who helped you kill the big boss will be just, you know, standing there, saying,
hanging out.
Yeah. And that will be like your own contribution. It won't be like anybody else's. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be really cool. So this cannot come soon enough.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. It's a lot like, like Lotro's housing is kind of like that too, where you can invite people in to see, you know, to see all your achievements and your trophies and things like that, which I think is cool. But I just wonder if it will be only by invite only, like, you know, right now, again, I hate to keep mentioning Lotro, but you know, in Lotro, you can go to a neighborhood and you can kind of run around and see other people's houses. And if they have it unlocked, you can actually go in and see it. But it sounds like this isn't going to be like that. It sounds like it's going to be more just like the Hall of Monuments, where the party leader, they're the ones, whoever's the party leader, that's whose house you'll see when you join a group.
That's kind of almost, like the Hall of Monuments now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it almost might be confusing if you just, you know, walk into some random person's home instance and, you know, they have all this stuff changed because they chose something different than you. And you're like, what? Why do they have this, you know?
Yeah.
And how do I get it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very, very curious about how they're going to make this work because, and I'm going to be guilty of this too. Mentioning Lotro, you know, they've got all these little neighborhoods, and if it's a city block, will there be an area of city blocks where you can run in and out of home instances? Or is it going to be more like the Hall of Monuments where you've just got one door and it changes according to whoever runs through it?
Yeah. Okay. So further on in this interview, Ree talks a little bit about the questions that are asked during character creation, because we've been told, of course, that it's not going to be a simple, you know, choose this and this and this and choose your hair color and things like that. It's going to be a little bit more advanced than that. And to get the storyline set up, you know, the foundation of your character set up, you actually have to answer a series of questions. So you asked her a little bit more details on this, and you want to talk a little bit about what her answer was?
Yeah, I was actually really curious about this. You know, how detailed and how specific and how involved does all of this get? You know, if you're a char, how many hairs of fur are on your left paw? Or, you know, how much are we going to get into this? And she actually said there are going to be between 7 and 12 multiple choice questions tailored to race, class, personality. Some of them are specific to earlier choices like your race. The example she gave, if you're playing a char, they're not going to ask you how you feel about the human queen because you don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be hugely overwhelming. But it's going to give you a really good feel for the character's personality. And it sounds like it's going to flesh it out nicely. Yeah. And of course I asked about character creation as far as the cosmetic and visual stuff. And she couldn't tell me anything.
Darn it.
I know. I was bummed. I wanted to know, do we get like a nose slider and,
but I like how she said, I'm sure our artists will be excited to comment on that in the future. So at least we know that it's possible to ask that question later, you know?
Yeah.
And we will.
Yeah, you can bet. So, Zach, what do you think about this?
Well, I mean, I think the personal story is going to be great. They really make the point that the questions aren't gonna like affect your strength or affect which skills you get. You know, it's for story, and I think that right away should make people a lot more calmer with choosing the choices that are fun. You know, choosing the choice that they really like. One thing I am concerned about a little bit. I mean, this is really slight concern for the whole thing was in another interview, I forget which site, they brought up, you know, the question of, you know, which like little mob species are you interested in? Do you like the Skrit or the frog people or?
Yeah.
For us, you know, being Guild Wars fanatics, we're like, oh yeah, the Hylek, we know all about them, you know. Mm. But for like someone just picking up the game, I hope there's a little more to ease them into the world, you know.
A little background on, you know, what's going on here. I think we should just tell them to hate the frog people at the time because they're horrible.
Yeah. But I mean, they seem to really know what they're doing. And I, you know, this little niggling that I have, I'm sure has, you know, they've thought of it, you know, a million times over. So.
Well, that is a good point, though, because I'm actually surprised. And I think it's because I've immersed myself so far into this game, but I'm always surprised when people are like, yeah, maybe I should start playing that Guild Wars game in preparation for Guild Wars 2. And I just want to be like, you've never played Guild Wars? What?
How can that be?
But yeah, there are a lot of people out there who, you know, maybe just started playing with World of Warcraft or whatever, and they've never tried Guild Wars. And with all this hype coming out now with Guild Wars 2 and how amazing it looks, you know, a lot of people are jumping into Guild Wars 1, or even if they don't want to do that, if they jump into Guild Wars 2, they're not going to know, you know, a lot about the background. They're not even going to know what a char is or, you know, all these other things, which is why that's up to us to let them know, right?
Yeah. That they need to, yeah, come on, you need to catch up. We'll play with you. I just committed both of you to that, yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was cool, and it sounds like there's going to be a little bit more that we can ask very soon.
Yeah, hope so.
Yeah, they keep plugging away, that's for sure. I mean, that's one thing I wrote about on the Kill 10 Rats a while ago is as far as managing expectations, it's like they're like a metronome now. It's like each week we're going to get something, even a holiday week, you know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, now something that they did say about the blog is that it's not going to be, they don't want this to be just the place where they drop huge news. And that's actually something I'm kind of looking forward to. It's going to be a place where we can kind of get to know the team, and like the punctuation and capitalization thing that they were just talking about. It's going to be an ongoing thing, and not just for enormous news bombs.
Yeah. Well, I like that because we, you know, on this podcast, we're going to talk about everything there is, and that punctuation and style thing was a perfect example because, you know, this podcast is catered towards people who want every little scrap of information about Guild Wars 2. And, you know, the big stuff will be covered on major sites, you know, and we can do that, you know, on our day job, I guess. but this is the blog is actually really well catered to what we'll talk about on this podcast. So if people don't want to hear about capitalization, then, too bad.
Because we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, because we're nerds. We're word nerds. So this last little bit of news here, this is the bomb. This is the big one. And I want to talk about this because this is very, very exciting news. And I'll kind of ease into this. So they're talking about conventions, the convention circuit itself. And they released this little, I don't know, Chris Lai is the marketing guy, and he released this kind of press release, I guess. It's like on their blog, and he's talking about how what they're going to do throughout the year as far as showing Guild Wars 2. And E3, of course, it's less than 2 weeks away. They're not going to be at E3. And the reason for this mainly is because E3 is an industry show. You know, there's media there, there's industry people there, there's devs there, and they just kind of talk to each other, you know, it's kind of in like an inner circle kind of a thing. So there are no real fans there, no one there to enjoy the game. So they said, we're just going to skip that. You know, why spend the money for a booth and all this stuff just to cater to, you know, people within the inner circle, which I kind of agree with. I think that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. A couple other places are doing that, while other ones just get a giant booth and take full advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And then San Diego Comic-Con is where they're actually going to go to that, and they're going to highlight the books, like Ghosts of Ascalon, which is their first novel. They're going to be giving away free copies, and they're going to have signings with the author Matt Forbeck and Jeff Grubb. Some of the artists will be there. There's going to be the Art of Guild Wars 2 book is going to be there. So that's much more of a fan convention. They're going to sign autographs, you know, get some FaceTime with the fans and things like that, which I think is really cool. Yeah. And then we have the big one.
Gamescom.
Gamescom in Germany. Now, oh wait, let me go back here for a second. San Diego Comic-Con is July 22nd to the 25th, and E3, like I said, is in about 2 weeks. It's June 15th. But Gamescom is August 19th to the 22nd, and that is in Germany, in Cologne, Germany. And they're going to have the first public hands-on demo of Guild Wars 2.
Oh my gosh. I have like this huge smile on my face.
And, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it out there. I don't know if that's something that's in our budget and everything, but you can bet we are going to try our hardest to get out there, because that is going to be so huge. You know, Gamescom is more of a fan-based event, of course, so there are going to be people there lining up. I can't imagine the lines. Lining up to play the game, you know, just even as a little demo, and that's going to be so exciting. I mean, this is something that people have waited for how long now? Like 4 years?
So much time.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. All of this news that we've been getting for the past year, so many people have been saying, you know, oh, well, those are just pretty pictures. You know, I won't believe it till you show me gameplay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this shows they are definitely in good standing. I mean, once they say, hey, you can play it at this time, I mean, that's what other thing can they say, you know?
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. And some people I think you said this. I'm saying some people, but I think actually I remember reading this that you wrote it about the timeline that games come out that are a playable demo versus when they actually launch. Didn't you write something about that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mentioned it. I didn't want to, you know, delve too deeply into speculating because like I know for Massively, you got to play, the Old Republic as a press demo. And so it's kind of like, well, how do you balance all these factors out? This is a public demo though. Which I think is much bigger and beyond any closed.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Demo.
The press demo for SOTOR was like, you know, we have this one quest we want you to do, start here. Everything was set up, you know, play this, and then okay, stop. But a public demo, that's so much different. You know, people can jump in and do whatever they want. And that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Too bad this isn't going to be like an E3 for everyone event like Guild Wars had way back in the day. Martin, one of the community managers, came on one of the forums and said, sorry, they won't be doing that for Gamescom, at least.
Oh.
So it will be just the people at the convention playing, but still, should be a blast.
I just want to know how they're going to handle this. I mean, can you imagine the hordes of people that are going to be lining up to do this?
Yeah.
How are they? I mean, do you get like a 15-minute timer?
I don't know. It's going to be crazy. I've seen at other conventions where they've had lines, and they, you know, they do have timers actually, where they have people there and they let you play for a little bit, and then they, you know, next let the next person play. So I don't know. I remember when we went to PAX East and there was the line for Red Dead Redemption,
yes.
And it was literally around their booth, like outside. It was incredible. It was a huge line. So I'm picturing something like that. I think it's probably going to be pretty big. I'm sure they're going to have time limits, and it's going to be really well organized.
Yeah. Well, what was the other one? What was the other one at PAX East? There were just tons of monitors, and you still couldn't get within 5 feet of them.
Oh, yeah.
It's in closed beta now, and the name
is APB?
Thank you, APB. Yeah. I mean, my gosh, we could not get near that APB booth.
Yeah.
But there didn't seem to be any sort of time limit. So I'm very, very curious about how they're going to handle that, because if there's some sort of short time limit, that's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I wonder what you know, what area of the game they're going to show. Because PvP, they can swap people in and out, you know, very easily. Whereas, you know, PvE, it's kind of like, well, what events are active? Do we start new characters, you know?
Yeah.
I'll be interested. They say they're going to talk about it soon, so.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about PvP.
Yeah. Like the World v. World is supposed to have, like, event-like things, like a supply caravan moving along. You know, that would be all AI-controlled. So I wonder if they do World v. World. I don't know. It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man. August is too far away.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing here, too, is that, you know, a lot of maybe people who can't make it to Europe or don't live in Europe are saying, well, that's not fair. You know, we want to be able to play, too. Well, they're actually going to be coming to PAX Prime in September 3rd through the 5th and do the same thing. There's going to be hands-on demo stations there. And, of course, this is in Seattle every year. So it's kind of like their home base event. But so, yeah, if you can't make it out to Germany, you know, there you go. If you can make it to Seattle. So get your hands on it. That's going to be crazy. That's going to be, yeah. I mean, PAX is crazy enough, but man.
Now that's the one I'm safe getting excited about that because I'm definitely going to be in Seattle.
Nice.
And I absolutely cannot wait. Yeah.
See, didn't I joke around with you? Cause I already got tickets for Dragon Con and Dragon Con, of course, and PAX are the same week or the same
weekend. Cause I was nagging you to come to PAX. I was like, come on, it'll be more fun.
Yeah. And I said, well, watch, now that I got Dragon Con tickets, they're going to show, like, they're actually going to show Guild Wars 2. And little did I know, they would actually have a hands-on. They would go that extra step.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, have fun in Dragon Con.
Yeah.
I'm going to go play Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Now, Zach, are you going to be at PAX?
Probably not this year.
Uh-huh.
I live on the East Coast, and I've been looking at plane tickets and everything, but just not in the
Not going to happen. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I will be, you know, watching YouTube and Ustream and all those things for anything that pops up.
Well, if you guys want me to, I'll lie and tell you it sucked after I get back. Yeah, that is absolutely one of the most exciting announcements they've made so far.
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody wants to see is gameplay. Show us gameplay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's going to change the minds of so many people. Well, it's you know, we know it's going to be amazing already, so we just not because we're fanboys, but
hey, it is. Well, okay, I guess I can't speak with any objectivity, can I? But it is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, and ArenaNet is still, you know, responding to fans big time. I mean, they're definitely leading up to here's how you're going to play, but fans have been kind of playing the games and events in their mind, and they've been asking some pretty hard questions. Like, how's this going to work? You know, what's going to happen if 50 people show up to one event and stuff? And actually, Guild Wars Slovenia, which is a European Guild Wars fan site, got an interview with ArenaNet. Tron is a pretty active member of a few Guild Wars communities. And they gave something really interesting. We've known pretty much that the events scale, because a lot of people have been worried about, you know, what's going to happen if everybody just zergs all the events. So, you know, a wave would have more monsters or, you know, higher level monsters. But one thing they said that was really interesting was the mobs would unlock abilities as people came. So if, like, an event would not have waves, like if it was just kill one drink, you know, harming a farmer. Well, as more people come, that Drake might get like tougher skin or might get like a stance that could help it block more.
Oh.
So like they almost hulk up, you know.
That's cool.
That's actually a pretty good description.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you can tell they put a lot of thought into the event system and they're willing to, you know, answer hard questions people have.
Well, and that's a good way to work it because it sounds like it's not going to be possible to put out the call and just, hey, 75 people come over here and let's just trample over this one orc and be done with it and move on with our lives. It's not going to happen that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think before they mentioned the difficulty level scaling like that, and we kind of assumed that it was just the quantity, you know, that it was just the number of enemies would kind of increase, like pop out of the bushes or whatever would happen. And but that's cool to know that actual abilities get increased or kind of, yeah, you know, like you said, hulked up. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote about this at Kill 10 Rats, and I think, you know, they're not really bluntly saying this, but, you know, they're breaking a lot of MMO conventions with Guild Wars 2, and this is another one. People are so used to static mobs, you know.
Yeah.
When you hit a mob, it's going to stay the same throughout the fight, unless mm-hmm. it's, you know, a tiered boss or something. But this yeah. is going to be really interesting.
Well, cool. I actually had a few emails that I wanted to read. That we got quite a few. We got put up on GuildWarsGuru.com, GuildWarsGuru2.com, and right on the front page there for the return of Guildcast, which is really cool because we got a lot of hits and a lot of emails.
That was nice of them.
Yeah, it was really cool of them. So I wanted to read a few of these. A lot of them are kind of just asking us how we set up the podcast and how we got into Guild Wars and things like that. So I'm not going to read those. But there are two here that I wanted to read because they actually have questions. And this first one says, "Hi, my name is Angel. I play a ranger monk named Kawai, K-A-W-A-I. I listened to your show before it ended, and I just wanted to say that it's awesome you're back. There are not a lot of podcasts out there that cover Guild Wars with the depth of news that you guys do. Keep up the good work. I have some questions and maybe some topics that could be discussed on a future show. I would like to hear more about the Hall of Monuments and how that is going to affect the gameplay. What benefits do you gain from filling that thing up? And will there be a sense of prestige in that it would be noticeable whether you played before? Like kind of a way to show it off, I guess. Now, I think, didn't they recently say that they've kind of steered away from that? Like, originally they were going to have the Hall of Monuments play a huge part in the descendants and the ancestry of your character, but didn't they say they're steering away from that a little bit?
Well, it's still going to be pretty significant, but they are not telling at this point. That is, yeah. How is the Hall of Monuments going to affect Guild Wars 2? That's like the $64 question.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've said that it's going to be, you know, one of the last bits of info we get, like really close to launch.
So it's going to be a big one.
Oh, so mean.
Yeah, so we don't really know the complete answer to this yet, but they're saying, you know, that when we find out, it's going to be pretty big.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are betting that at least one tier is just going to be filling up the Hall of Monuments. You know?
Yeah.
Getting 5 elite armors, getting 11 elite weapons, you know. So that's a safe bet. Whether to go into, like, the heavy titles, like the People Know Me titles or something like that, I don't know. There's a lot of debate going on about mm-hmm. how much grind and time do they want to reward, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I got to finish filling up the weapon part of my haul.
Yeah.
I have no idea why, but I got to do it.
Well, that actually goes hand in hand with the second question he has here. He says, do you think that they will keep the servers as they did on Guild Wars 1? I just hope they don't go the way of WoW servers and the nickel and dime for services like Blizzard does. Well, and Guild Wars 1 also, the reason I said this kind of ties in is Guild Wars 1 is, you know, they want people to still play Guild Wars 1, and that's what the whole Hall of Monuments thing was. Like, if you really want some really buff things on your Guild Wars 2 character, you're going to play Guild Wars 1 more and kind of buff it up. So I think that's something that they wanted to focus on and make sure that was still there, but I don't know if that's going to actually still happen because they're talking about some changes. But again, we won't know until closer to launch.
Won't stop us from asking.
Yeah, but I guess to answer his question, the second question he says, basically what he's asking is if they'll have one big server so that they're not sharded. And I think have they mentioned this? I think they have mentioned that they're going to keep that part of it the same, right?
I feel like they have, but since I can't think of a direct source, I'm scared to say for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we know they have cross-server technology because world be world, you're fighting some of their servers. So, and they've said you can play with your friends easily, and that's about as far as they've
I actually asked about this a couple months ago. We did an interview with them, and I asked when we were talking about world v world, and I said, "Does this literally mean that there will be different worlds to like different shards mm-hmm. servers to play against each other?" And they basically said they couldn't answer that at that time. We don't know yet for sure, but I would imagine, I mean, who, going back to that type of technology, it seems like it's a step backwards or five steps backwards.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the opposite of what they do. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm putting my hat in the ring for single server. Mm-hmm. If it turns out to be wrong, you can hate me.
Well, a long time ago, they said that they wanted servers to be thought of more like neighborhoods. You know, you have your home and your neighborhood, and you like your home and you like your neighbors, but that doesn't necessarily mean you only, you know, have parties with your neighbors.
Yeah.
So, hopefully they still kept to that. I mean, that was like two, three years ago. But, you know.
Yeah.
That's another one that we'll need to keep an eye on as we get closer to launch.
Yep.
Yeah.
Angel actually has a third question here. It says, with the way the game world changes due to your character's decision-making, do you think that this will also affect your character's appearance as well, i.e. scars, hated or loved with specific factions? Also, how do you think the new factions will play into the PvP aspect like the Luxans and Kurziks? That first question, it makes it sound like something like Fable, you know, where in Fable when you did evil deeds, you kind of changed, your countenance got dark and scary, and if you did good deeds, you had a halo over your head, and you know, you had more of like a glow about you and like angelic. They haven't mentioned anything about that, have they?
No, just that we'll have four or five, well, like colleges if you're in Asura. I mean, you've got your factions within your race, but I don't know how much. I haven't gotten any indication that those factions or colleges or whatever battle with one another. I mean, that's as close as we've gotten.
I think he might have been talking about like the Order of Whispers and the Vigil, because in those, like in your personal story, you get to choose one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think he's asking, and from what I've seen, ArenaNet seems really focused on your personal story is not going to affect you mechanically. It's mm-hmm. a story, and it's going to head that way. And one thing they have said is, depending on choices you make in your story, you might get different titles. And that's all they've said so far, so they haven't really gone into the visual realm, like scars or badges or anything. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. But yeah, that's another one where we haven't really heard anything yet, but you can bet we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Once that info comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got this other email. This is kind of a quick one. This is from Jose, and he says, hi, I think you guys should have veteran players come on and talk about how life on Guild Wars is now. Like, I would love to do that. I love talking about this game, and I think lots of people would like to do this also. That's a good idea, and that's something that definitely we plan with the show, you know, get more of the community on the show, mm-hmm. not just us, you know, talking about what we know, because we don't know that much, right? No, we don't know everything, so I think that's important to realize and kind of get other players in there. You know, there have been players in the game now still who've been playing since Alpha, and they continue to play, and they plan to keep playing, you know, when Guild Wars mm-hmm. 2 comes out. So I think getting that perspective is very important, getting people to talk about the changes that have been made, and even if, you know, we should even do a show sometime about the changes. I mean, that would be a 10-hour show, but you know, just kind of the major changes. I think that would be interesting.
That would be fun. That's a good idea. Thank you, Angel.
Yeah. That's Jose. That one. Totally.
Oh,
different.
We moved on from Angel, didn't we? Well, but I didn't thank Angel before, so I have to do that.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, everybody that emailed. How's that?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Actually, yeah, we did get a lot of emails, and one of them I didn't want to read, but it was asking me about. You know, I think I talked about being a graphic designer last time because mm-hmm. they were asking me all about that. And so I'm not going to read that one, of course. But I just because I'm not reading them, I just want, you know, people to know we still appreciate getting them. And if you want an email, you can actually send it to Sean@guildcast.com. And Ruby has one too, Ruby@guildcast.com.
Oh, yeah.
So you can email us any questions about the, you know, the game, and we'll try to find out some information on them if we can, if that information is actually released.
Definitely. You know, we were talking about how all of this is leading in, like the Hall of Monuments is leading into Guild Wars 2. The other thing that they're doing to kind of bridge that gap between Guild Wars 1 and 2 is the War in Crida. And that's been progressing like crazy. They've got a new update on that just about every week. And then we've got the bounties that are like the Zaishen bounties every day. But they've really added on to that the past few days, and I'll kind of let Zach talk about that a little bit since I've talked over him a whole bunch.
In each update, they like give a little hint. They don't say we've added this quest, this mechanic. They're like, Princess Salma has, you know, reclaimed the throne, and this time they were like, now the Mersat, or Mersat, however you pronounce it, are getting behind the White Mantle more. And so everybody was like, ooh, you know, will we start seeing, you know, Mersat enemies and, you know, the explorables. And one thing they had, you know, you have to follow most of the quests, and it's kind of confusing, but if you go to the Guild Wars wiki, there's a flow chart on how to get here. But they basically released a mission type quest for the War in Crito, where you actually go in to I think it was it Riverside?
Riverside Province.
Yeah, yeah. And you go and assassinate Mersat.
Now, what was really cool about this, though, you can't get this quest. You get it from Princess Salma after you've done three specific Inquisitor bounties on the Wanted by the White Mantle. Oh, yeah. Wanted by the Shining Blade. Sorry.
Yeah.
I know. After you've done three specific bounties... And man, that last one was really hard. Inquisitor Lisa.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out who was, there was like some superhero healer that I couldn't find.
Well, it's actually the kids.
It was those creepy little kids.
Yeah, they have a special skill called Adoration.
Adoration.
And it gives a small amount of health, but it gives morale every hit.
Yeah. And there's four of them spamming it. And every time they do it, she gets a 1% morale boost and 75 health.
Yeah. And she's an AoE elementalist too, and yeah, it was rough.
Yeah, she hurts. But yeah, it was that I could not figure out who was healing her.
Yeah.
And it was.
Yeah.
It was those kids. It was like Children of the Corn back there on the beach.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, after you've done all that, you go into Riverside Province. And what's really cool about this, it's a nighttime mission, and I don't know that we've seen Tyria at night before. Mm. But it was absolutely beautiful. I took some time just to kind of look around.
Yeah, I love when they change the atmospheric effects like they did in the Tomb of the Kings. I can't even remember the outpost name.
Primeval Kings, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's and I love how they reuse the assets they have. I mean, it's great to revisit things and be like, oh yeah, I've been here. Oh, this is where I, you know, crossed the river with the Staff of Ore, you know, and it's a lot of fun.
It was very cool. Now, I have to know, Zach and I were talking about this before we recorded, and what you can do is go kill two White Mantle bosses and take these keys, and then you go over and kill the third one, or apparently you can just skip the key thing and storm the front gate. Now, which way did you do that?
I just stormed, because I didn't actually look at the wiki, because I was like, this is new, you know, I'm just going to explore and take my time, and I had no idea where the key guys were, so I just...
They're like a billion miles away, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I just basically went for it, and I eked it out with, you know, some creative use of consumables and summons, but I took them down. Now, this is in normal mode. You know, I wasn't lead enough to do this in hard mode. But.
Yeah, well, the rewards are no better in hard mode, so there's no reason to torture yourself anymore than
challenge.
You have to.
Yeah.
So, well, that was my question. Was it, like, horribly hard if you skipped the keys and just stormed the gate? Was it that bad?
No. You know, I was very creative in how I did this. I used the walls a lot to make sure projectiles weren't hitting me. And, it took a while, but...
Yeah.
I liked it. Did you get the keys?
I went and got the keys, and I'll tell you, and it's at the opposite end of Riverside Province. It's way out on the west. I got all the way out there. I had no cons. I completely forgot.
Oh.
I had no DP removal. I had no summoning stones.
Oh, man.
And I had Alicia.
Oh.
Yeah, that hurt.
See, now that's just hard mode in itself right there.
Yeah, I was like, crap, I'm not going back. So I just kind of, I toughed it out with 38% death penalty, and I can't remember the last time I had that.
Wow. Well, and that's one thing a lot of people are complaining about is, like, if you do the solo, you got to take two hench with you. And the hench don't have protection against the agony.
Yeah, they're not infused.
Spectral agony, yeah. So,
yeah, and they're level 15, and they kind of suck.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, that's even harder. So.
Yeah, it was painful. Well, I'm going to try it. My Necro still needs it, so I'll have to try it again with just storming the gates and, yeah. You know, maybe taking a human that's infused just to get all crazy. Yeah. So, but it's interesting seeing this progress and watching to see how this is going to affect things in Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, they keep ramping it up. I mean, it starts out with just like White Mantle bantering the farmers, and then we get the Peacekeepers, and now we got the Mersaat in this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was
a progression.
Yeah, I love seeing it. I'm just really interested to see how far they're going to take this.
Yeah. Yes. What could be next? I mean, they said, you know, we're going to do Guild Wars Beyond. They didn't say this is it.
So yeah, there's more coming.
You get anything good with your royal gifts?
No. I got Crichton Brandy. Oh, I got 3 Stars of Transference.
Oh, wow.
Come on. Yeah, that hurt.
You need more skill points?
Yeah, you know, the 1,500 I have aren't quite enough. Nope, I got that. I got some brandy. I got those little Crichton rations that remove 15% DP, and that was about an hour too late.
Yeah.
What'd you get with yours?
The cool thing I got was that new summoning horn, which you get 3.
Cool.
So I haven't used it. I only got 1, and I was like, oh, I'm going to save this, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, I've been doing a lot better than from what I've seen on people on the forums, but there's been a lot of getting those XP scrolls that a lot of people don't really need or want, you know. And,
I got one of those 100 gold XP scrolls. I think the best thing I got was 4 lockpicks.
That's a couple thousand gold.
It's not bad. Oh, I'll use them. I'm chasing the titles, so.
Yeah.
But I'm still hoping for that mini Salma.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. It's like a 0.1% chance or something.
Yeah, that's not going to go well. I'm going to end up buying that just from another player. But anyway, so yeah, this is that whole progression into Guild Wars 2, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger. This is the first real mission type quest that we've had.
Yeah.
Because if you get killed, there's no res shrine. You're done. You start over.
Yeah. Well, in the whole zone, I mean, there's, you know, between you and the temple, there are mobs placed everywhere. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, let's change the explorable area. They definitely balanced this out.
Yeah, and there was no sneaking around those guys.
Yeah. Looking forward to see what happens next.
I know. I can't wait. Looking forward to Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good to have that to look forward to.
Oh, absolutely. So we need our Thursday update. We need some more Guild Wars 2 news.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think that was everything we had this week.
Yeah, I think that was it. We got the emails, we got the kind of the big news, even the small news, and even a little Guild Wars 1 update there. So cool. So I guess that'll do it for this show. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. But like I said before, you know, send us emails, either Sean@guildcast.com, it's SHAWN, or Ruby, RUBI, @guildcast.com. And we'll, you know, we'll read your emails on the air, or we'll answer them to the best of our knowledge. We also have our Twitter, where I usually post up if we have a new episode that comes up, or if there's any kind of information about the show, the recording on the show, or anything like that. You know, I usually say it on the Twitter, and that, of course, is twitter.com/guildcast. And we have a Facebook page. We have a little, you know, you can, like, become a fan of Guildcast. There's like a discussion board there that I think that we could use, but not much else really goes on there. But, you know, who isn't a fan of Guildcast, right?
Well, yeah. I'll have to go over there and try to get some discussion going.
Yeah, definitely. All right, cool. So until next week, that's it from us. And this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
I'm Zach.
And we'll see you then.